ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For decades, music festivals have been a big deal, attracting millions of revelers. But the appeal seems to be dying away, with a string of cancellations this year. So, is it all about rising costs and fears of bad weather, or is there more to it? Today, Double J's national music correspondent, Zan Rowe, on whether the big music festival can be saved. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Zan, music festivals, they've been around for a while. I'm thinking way back to Woodstock.
Yeah, 100%, 1969, what a time.
For a whole week, Woodstock was America's 10th largest city. And incredibly, there was no hate, no violence, no anarchy.
Very free form, probably pretty stinky, but a three-day festival held at a dairy farm in a little place called Bethel, New York. And that was very much about, you know, the protest against the Vietnam War, peace and love. 500,000 people turned up to Woodstock, and of course it's become the real poster child for festivals. But in the many decades since, we've seen them, you know, have huge popularity all over the world, including here in Australia.
I think everyone now wants to hear some Jimi Hendrix, but we're not allowed to play it because there's rights issues. So go and look for that somewhere else later after you've listened to this episode. As you say, it was just a concept that took off around the world, including here in Australia, right?
Yeah, around the same sort of time, again, the same sort of scene, the rise of counterculture. In the 1970s, Sunbury was a real landmark moment, that huge festival that happened just outside of Melbourne in Victoria.
The pop festival, the largest that Australia's yet seen, is only a day old, with two more days to run. Whether it will continue to echo the sentiments of the crowd, who are using the phrase peace and love more often than the more normal how you going, mate, remains to be seen. But I think the worst thing that could possibly happen here would be a very bad case of sunburn.
And of course, the Urumbah Festival at New South Wales Central Coast as well. So that want for a gathering of people, for lots of bands on a stage, for that real discovery of music, but also, you know, in many ways, discovery of yourself and connection with people that were like you, was sowed very early on with the festival scene.
Have you had a good time since you've been up here?
Gas, man, it's been a gas.
Do you think you've got your $5 worth?
How about $6 worth?
And even in the 90s as well, like the Big Day Out was, I guess, one of the landmark festivals that came into the scene.
A sold-out crowd jammed and slammed through 12 hours of punk, pop, rock and grunge. The first Big Day Out in Sydney 3 years ago drew a crowd of 10,000. Today, the festival attracts 15 times that many across Australia and New Zealand. Alternative has become mainstream.
The Big Day Out in particular was a touring festival which had a hugely broad array of acts, internationals and locals alike.
When we were doing the Big Day Out, it was actually 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I went to the third stage, or like one of the smaller stages, and I saw some of the best bands there.
Yeah. The Big Day Out really became a massive part of Australian festival culture, and I think set the scene for that revival through the 90s and then into the noughties as well.
Yeah, and people loved it, didn't they? It ended, though, in 2014, I think. But still, you know, there's been heaps of festivals across the country, haven't there?
Yeah, you've got Splendour in the Grass, which, of course, in the last week we've found that has cancelled for this year. Groove in the Moo, which is a great regional touring festival hitting places of Australia that doesn't usually, you know, see a whole bunch of live touring acts. Bluesfest, which just wound up over the Easter long weekend. I'm naming the kind of big headline ones, but there's 535 music festivals happened in the last financial year. That's about 1.5 music festivals for every day of the year. Some of them have tens of thousands of people. Some of them have tens of people, but festivals are loved large and small across the country.
I'm gathering that you've been to a few, Zan.
Yes, I love festivals. I grew up in festivals, and this is, you know, it's really shaped my gig going life. It's a chance for discovery, and I can't tell you how many times, Sam, I've gone along to a festival and I've wandered past a stage and seen someone that I had no idea even existed, haven't even heard any buzz on, and then that band takes off. This is what happens at festivals. These are kind of the opportunities, not just for audiences, but of course for the bands and particularly Australian musicians that don't necessarily get to play to such a huge amount of people. And all of a sudden that 2 p.m. spot at the Big Day Out or at the Falls Festival on the smaller stage gets them a whole breed of new fans. Mm. And it's been a great part of my life.
It can get a bit muddy sometimes, but that's part of the fun, right?
We're all in it together, and I think there's something, you feel a great sense of achievement when you've survived a festival exactly. That's had some inclement weather, that's for sure.
Exactly. Great fun. Okay, but the sad news is, of course, that it's really tough for festivals right now, and some of the biggest events, as you mentioned, Splendour in the Grass, for instance, are really having to pull the pin now. They're having to cancel.
Tickets were still available to buy on the festival's website this afternoon until organisers issued this statement. With a heavy heart, we're announcing the cancellation of Splendour in the Grass 2024. Due to unexpected events, we'll be taking the year off.
Yeah, and Splendour in the Grass was, I think, a shock for many, and coming off the back of a handful of festival cancellations, Groove in the Moo cancelled recently. A number of festivals have rested, they've said, for this year and are going to try and come back in 2025 even stronger. Mm. But Splendour cancelling a week after tickets went on sale was a real shock for the industry, because this is known as one of the most successful festivals, which has up until recently been selling out in record time, and of course had Kylie Minogue as the headline act on the Friday night, among a handful of other big names as well.
Let's unpack further what's actually going on here and why these festivals just can't seem to keep afloat. But first, just explain that Splendour in the Grass issue a bit more for me, because as you said, Kylie Minogue was signed up. She's a huge deal. And tickets had only been on sale for a week. So what was the rush to cancel it? Why couldn't they just wait a bit longer for people to actually, you know, save up some money and buy the tickets?
This is a really good question, and I think something that a lot of people are confused by. Mm. So that first week, that first moment of selling tickets, if they don't see people coming out of the gates and buying early, then that's a really reliable indicator of how that will continue. And the organisers need to know that it's going to sell well, because putting on a festival is a huge cost and a massive risk. The only way you can recoup those funds is by selling tickets. And of course, we've seen the cost of living crisis affect everyone. So that sort of $500 ticket price, add to that accommodation, food, drink, all the things that you spend over 3 days of living at a festival. And for the audience that they're pitching at, that particularly younger audience, they simply just don't have the money.
Yes, mate, I have to work for 8 weeks straight, no food, no water, straight savings just to get here.
Cost of living, yeah, the lineup's not the greatest, but I don't know. We came for the experience.
So we know, as you've mentioned, this cost of living crisis is really biting, but COVID also played a big part in this, right?
Yeah, and we've seen it in our own, I guess, ways that we get around, and literally, you know, the cost of flying has never gone back to those pre-COVID prices. And it's the same, if not worse, for the cost of travel and freighting in the festival industry. It's become so expensive to move things around, people and the huge sets and things that you need in order to put on a festival. And you also have the somewhat weak Australian dollar, particularly against the greenback, where if you want to get those big international headliners, you're doing that with paying a 64 cent to the American dollar price. So you're having to pay 30 to 40% more than you would have in agency fees to an international act. These artists come for a long way, have to pay a lot of money to get here, and of course the promoters need to fork out a lot of money to convince them to come all the way to Australia, which is quite isolated and quite a small population, and a population that increasingly is finding it hard to support such a huge amount of different acts. And then of course acts like Taylor Swift and Pink and Fred Again, who toured recently, not playing festivals and doing their own shows.
Yeah, and if you've forked out money for someone like Taylor Swift, you might not have the money left over to go to one of these festivals, I assume.
Yeah, and people, I think, want to sometimes be in a space where they're like, cool, I'm going to see them and this is in a venue and this is the show I'm seeing.
Yes.
And maybe those attitudes towards going into a field that's out of town that's a little bit harder to get to have changed as well. I think festival audience behaviour has definitely changed, particularly with young people in terms of how they interact with festivals, that's for sure.
Yeah, sure. And there's not going to be the mud. And I know that some people love the mud, but the weather, the weather at these festivals, that is actually a big problem. It's become a huge problem, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's really tough. It's something that we're seeing face, you know, climate change is affecting all of us in various ways. But massive downfalls of rain.
It's like, yeah, you can't walk anywhere. It's just covered in shit. And, like, all your campsites are all drowning and, like, your tents are getting soaked and, like, they're sold out of gumboots.
Gazebos were flying and they were hitting on people's cars and, like...
You know, heat waves as we saw over the Easter long weekend at certain festivals, including Pitch Festival, that had to cancel in the middle of it because of extreme heat in the place in Victoria where they were. It just wasn't an enjoyable. It was quite a challenging experience and quite dangerous for many people to be in that heat. But flooding and bushfires, like, this has been going on for years.
And there's a generational shift as well, isn't there? Because I guess, I mean, you'll know more about this than me, but younger people, they sort of get their music in a different way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's changed over the last 10, 20 years as digital distribution of music has shifted, as people can choose what they want to hear as opposed to getting dished up whatever they're given through radio and linear broadcasting. If you think back to when, you know, when we were coming of age, Sam, and we would go out and when you turn 17 to 18, you can finally go out to gigs, go to festivals, hang out with your mates. This is a real moment that I think flicks a switch in your brain, at least it did for me, and that set me up for life. The first time I saw live music, I just wanted more. I wanted to be in that community. I wanted to hear music at that volume. I wanted to feel it through my feet. And that set me up as a festival goer and a live music lover. And for those who have been stuck at home, that switch may never be flicked. That might change a whole generation's connection to live music and to festival culture. And also, this same group are some of the most affected in terms of financially. They're not doing well. Young people are really struggling financially.
Yeah, of course, we want new talent to emerge in Australia and we want to have local artists thrive. So what does the industry say, Zan, it needs to just keep putting on live gigs so this doesn't die away?
Festivals are asking for more support, for more government grants, for larger government grants, I guess to offset those huge rises in costs. Another big cost is police and security. And this is a regulation. It's not a request, it's a regulation. And some festivals are finding that quite hard. So they're asking for support in that and also more clarity around how that differs from state to state.
What do you think, Zan? Is this the beginning of the end for these big blockbuster festivals or is it just temporary? Let's hope it's temporary.
I think it's a period of change. I don't think it's the end, but I think that there needs to be changes, not just from the way things are funded and the way things are regulated, but also inevitably address the fact that audiences are interacting with music and live music in a different way. And it's interesting to see genre festivals are going really well. Electronic music is huge in Australia. Country music is right behind that. It's the festivals that are kind of like a smorgasbord of different tastes that are struggling a little bit. And so how things are programmed, where they're put on, whether they're three-day festivals or one-day festivals, all of this I think is going through a massive period of change and reflection. And as long as we keep supporting live music, we'll still be able to enjoy that festival culture and a music industry in Australia that's always punched above its weight. And we've been incredibly lucky to celebrate all this live music within. So I'm very optimistic. But yes, change is inevitable.
Well, there's still hope. And let's hope that this chat inspires people to head off to a live gig this weekend.
Absolutely. It's plenty on, Sam. There is plenty on.
Thanks so much, Zan.
Thanks, Sam.
Zan Rowe is Double J's national music correspondent and host of the podcasts Take Five and Bang On. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, Nell Whitehead and Sam Dunn. Audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.